Sci-Fi Party Line.
Welcome to another episode of the Sci-Fi Party Line podcast. This is your hostess, Kat, and I have Hanako with me, and we are hot off of the Harry Potter trailer.
Oh my God, oh my God, oh my gosh. I don't even know what to say right now. That trailer was so amazing.
I had a physical response to it. I felt like little chills and that little nervous tension thing that you get and the the goosebumps. And they did a really good job with this trailer.
They really did. I mean, literally, the trailer, when it first came in, it was kind of subtle and it was kind of, you know, ominous. And then the first time that WB board came up and it said, the final presentation of a worldwide phenomenon, I started bawling. I
was oh my God.
Like, this is the beginning of the end for, you know.
Oh, you got till next summer. Calm down.
But oh my goodness, it was a really well done trailer. I mean, it was amazing. I mean, literally the comments that I got on Facebook and Twitter were ridiculous. Like people were having reactions. Like, people were really emotional about this trailer. I mean, they did such a good job with it.
Well, it wasn't a fun trailer. You know, because we're not used to them at this point, seeing them happy, but all of them look worried. All of them look torn down and scared and tired, and they were all fighting, and Hermione was doing something with her hands, and I was just,
they weren't, like you said, they looked like they were in the midst of battle. Like, when Harry walked to Voldemort, the dark circles under his eyes,
yes,
and just kind of the look of defeat was kind of like, okay, you know what? There's nothing else I can do. I'm going to die. And it was just so powerful.
Oh my God.
Like, I really, I have no doubts that this will probably be the best out of the whole series. These two films, I mean, they're literally at this point, it looks amazing. they really look like they focused more on trying to get as much into the movies as possible. And that was the whole goal of them doing the two movies. And just judging from this, looks like they met that goal.
I hope so. I know my initial reaction to Half-Blood Prince was not favorable, but I just watched it on HBO like maybe a week ago or something, and I really liked it again after my second viewing. So I hope I don't have the first viewer shock of, oh, what is this? I don't know. And then you have to watch the second time to really appreciate it. I want it to be that movie when you go in and you come out and you need to lean on somebody because you got to cry. And, you know, I really want this to be powerful for, you know, everyone, not just like the hardcores like you and the semi-hardcores like me, but just everybody. And I really have high hopes for this. I really have high hopes for this.
There was so much in that trailer. I mean, literally, there were scenes in there, and I know you haven't gotten to the seventh book yet, but there were scenes that happened in the seventh book that have been, you know, the topic of a lot of speculation, because we wondered whether or not they would put certain scenes in the books, and those scenes were in the trailer. So, I mean, literally, me and my friends were online freaking out, like, oh my God, they put this scene in there. Did you see they put this scene in there? And it was just, it was amazing. And Ron.
If we don't know already, Hanako is a big fan of Ron Weasley.
Ron got love in this trailer. Rupert Grint looked amazing in this trailer.
He looked horrified. I don't know if he looked great. He looked horrified.
Well, that's what I'm saying, though, as far as what character has to go through and, you know, the particular scenes, like, literally everybody who's read the books, we can name exactly what scene those, you know, each shot came from.
That's amazing.
That's how that's how close to the book they've, you know, they've stayed. And even a couple of scenes that they may have tweaked a little bit, like the scene at the end where Voldemort and Harry are facing off and their wands are connected, that's supposed to take place in the Great Hall in the books. Mm. Well, apparently visually it was probably better in the courtyard. And I think it was, it was a little more powerful that way, because you've got the bodies of, you know, you've got the bodies laying around and they're sitting there fighting, you know, for the fate of the Wizarding World. And it was a lot more powerful to me, you know, seeing it that way. Hmm. So I'm excited. I'm very optimistic about these.
Well, yeah, from reading, because, you know, I read the books at your request, at some of the books. I just started Half-Blood. The books, I mean, the movies don't really stray all that far away from the movies, to me, from what I've seen so far. I mean, minor details are maybe switching characters here and there, whatever, but I kind of find that, or maybe I haven't seen the movies in so long, that I'm not nitpicky, is that it's not really all that different.
And but I guess for the more hardcore, like, especially for me, like we just said, I'm a huge Ron Weasley fan.
Okay, and so
throughout the first five movies, Ron is a very underplayed character, and a lot of his good lines that he had in the books, they gave to other people in the movies to do. Mm. So that kind of thing, you know, it was just a little bit, you know, irritating for me. And, yeah. You know, certain other things that I think they could have put in the movies that would have made a little bit more sense, especially, for one, Prisoner of Azkaban, the whole background with the Marauders and the Marauder map and how they were connected to Harry and his parents. I think a lot of people were kind of confused
in the movie. I can't separate the two now. I think that's
Prisoner of Azkaban. Yeah, Prisoner of Azkaban, the one where Harry finds out Sirius Black is his godfather, but he spends the whole movie thinking that Sirius Black is trying to kill him.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying, I think I can't separate the books from the movies now. I think that's my issue. It's because I read them afterwards. I think that's a problem.
So, yeah, and that's probably what it is, because I would not watch any of the movies until I read the books first.
Ah, well.
So, maybe that makes me a little bit more critical, but, you know.
Well, you can see the details then, because me, I was like, oh, well, that just seems not all that different. And I don't know. But, yeah, I am really looking forward to Deathly Hallows. I mean, it's going to bring my Kleenex, let me tell you.
Yes. I think I need to buy stock, like, in them. And I've said this for over a year. Yeah, I'm definitely taking a box of Kleenex and, you know, I can't wait till this hits the screen, and I can just imagine, if it looks that good in 2D, I can't even imagine what it's going to look like.
Oh, this is going to be a 3D movie. Yes. And I bet it's going to be on IMAX. I might want to do IMAX on this one.
Yes, ma'am. And I will be going.
Yeah. You also have some other Harry Potter, some really good Harry Potter news. You are now an official blogger for Hollywood News. How is that so far?
It's been keeping me busy, but I'm having so much fun with it. It's like, and it happened at a really good time, because I found out the news the night before the park opened, and I started that following Monday. So there's been lots of news, you know, out there just for me to put there, because they, you know, before they had been posting some Harry Potter news, but it wasn't as often as it is now. So it's just, it's been a lot of fun, you know, doing it. And it's like one of those dream things where, oh my God, I get to write about Harry Potter, and I, you know, it's a job. I'm getting paid for it.
You know? Oh, nice. That is, you know, nice.
But it's been a lot of fun. There has been very welcoming. They've been very helpful, you know, with trying to acclimate me to, you know, blogging for an actual company or an actual site, as opposed to blogging on my own. So that's been helpful for me as well.
Yeah.
But it's been a lot of fun, and it's been fun. I hope I can continue once my assignment is over, but I'm having a blast.
There's like tons of things that you could write for that you watch in fandom. I mean, you can do True Blood. Yeah, I mean, it's just tons of things that I'm pretty sure they'll keep you because your enthusiasm is so infectious. So I think they'll keep you. Well, you did something else that I found interesting. Was it on Thursday or something? You went to Twilight, a Twilight showing that it's not out, right? For us, no.
It was Saturday evening. It was Saturday evening. Summit put on what they call Twilight Night in several locations around the United States. And it was basically just a fun tie-in to the movie. Saturday, there was a lunar eclipse. And so they had this, you know, these big events where they screened New Moon for free. And they had different stars go to different locations for, you know, games and Q&A sessions. And we were actually able to get pictures and autographs from Daniel Cudmore, who plays Felix from the Volturi. And other things that he's been in. He's also well known for being Colossus in the last two X-Men movies.
Oh, okay, that guy. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, so you you didn't get to see Eclipse early. That's what I thought this was.
No.
I was so jealous. I don't get to see it. Why does she get to see it? And then I checked myself because I was like, since when do you love Twilight that much?
I've always been.
No, I'm talking to myself. Like,
it's been just fun for me. And again, the only reason why I actually got into Twilight was because of the fact that Robert Pattinson, who used to be in Harry Potter, was cast in the part, and there was, you know, such uproar about him, you know, playing this part of this beautiful vampire. And, you know, I just wanted to see what the big deal was. Like, okay, why are they tripping? And he's gorgeous. Saturday night was a lot of fun. There were giveaways. They did give away some passes to the advanced screening, which happened tonight. And, one girl got a VIP package with autographs and, you know, t-shirts and other little goodies. So it was a lot of fun.
That's cool. I don't know if they had one in Houston. I think maybe they had one in Austin. I don't think they had one in Houston. I'm not sure. So, you know.
Yeah, they have. I actually had the list of all the locations and the stars that were going to be there posted on my Confessions of a Fangirl blog.
Mm-hmm.
And I know some of the other cities had huge lines and, you know, people had to wait for hours to get in. But our event was pretty low key. It was held in Midtown Atlanta, and several hundred up. And I mean, it was a lot of fun. You know, we got goodies and carpet there, you know, where you can take your picture on the red carpet with the Summit and Eclipse backdrops. And they had tattooing and face painting, and the Luna Twilight line was there with a booth. They did free Twilight makeovers, and it was nice. A lot of fun.
When you came in, the air went out. And we had a little bit of connection problems, but we're back. And guess what? We're going to talk last night's True Blood. Wow. Yeah. You know what? I was going to start off with like a recap, blah, blah. I just want to get into it. Let's not even mess around. What was that? Know what I'm talking about? What was
according to the actress who plays Lorena, probably the water cooler topic of the year.
Okay. So I'm, you know, True Blood, I've gotten adjusted to its antics. I really enjoy. It didn't even need anything extra, but to see Bill first. In the previous episode, he saw her, and upon sight, he set her on fire. That's number one.
That was, and you know, at first when I saw that part, I thought that maybe he was daydreaming it.
Yeah, me too.
He actually set her on fire until last night's episode. And I'm like, oh my God, he really set her on fire. Wow. And then to go from that to the end, it was in the end at the same time. That was electric, because I mean, you could pretty much say Bill kind of forced himself on her.
So but she kind of wanted it.
Yeah, you don't she provoked it, but at the same time, and I mean, with her character, I think that kind of what she does, because the more evil he is, the more he's in line with her. You know, the more in touch he is with his humanity. You know, as long as he's in touch with his humanity, as long as he's in love with a human, as long as he's trying to assimilate up with humans, she knows that she never has another chance with him. So she's basically trying to get him back to that point where he hates himself and he hates who he is, and therefore, you know, out of that self-loathing. Well, it's kind of a weird, twisted way to do it. I understand where her character is coming from. It was just really weird to see it displayed in that manner on the screen. It's like, on one hand, it's like, wow, this girl is really pushing this boundary. And it's kind of disturbing. But,
it was disturbing, but it was funny at the same time, because I didn't know what was going on at first. Because all of a sudden, I'm shocked because Bill has thrown this lady on the bed, ripped off her clothes. There's sex going on. Then I see a fake rubber head, and I'm like, what the hell? And then the head commences to turn around. He's still pounding her. And then, you know, she lets out a bloody mouth whimper. I still love you, Bill. And what?
Yeah, that was one of those WTF moments. Like, what?
Is that in the book? Is that in the book?
No. No. I would say this. It doesn't happen on page in the book. Now, in the book, when he is, I think if I remember at one point, he did go back to her, and it's because as his maker, she do whatever it was, and she commanded him to be with her, and he admitted as much to Sookie that he was with her, but it was against his will. So I guess in some ways it's kind of like reverse of what's going on in the book. So I don't know. It was a really weird scene. It was, my jaw dropped.
That's it? I let out excited. What the hell am I watching?
They've been kind of pushing the boundaries with the sex this season. First we get Eric in his sex swing with the dancer, and then we get Tara and Franklin. Oh my God. What was that?
What was her eyes?
Tara
were rolling in the back of her head. And then, you know, you were just looking like, wow, I want what she's having.
Like, does orgasms like that really exist? I mean, she was convulsing in her, she looked like a woman possessed. It was, I don't know, weird, but it was, you know, hey, it worked. Because we were like, wow, certainly not thinking about eggs, right?
No, she was not thinking about eggs. And she was pretty peppy for having to gone through all of that, you know, because as soon as she talked about eggs, she hopped up, put on the clothes, was like, I'll walk home. I'm like, really? I would have needed a cigarette and to sleep for 30 minutes at least.
But at least I guess that part is a little realistic. It's like, okay, you know, for a moment she was able to forget about this, but then once reality comes crashing back, she remembers, okay, I'm not supposed to be happy. I'm not supposed to be having fun right now. So I guess in a way it was realistic. It was just that episode, it was a good episode in so many different ways.
Oh my God. Not only this, the other sex scene with Pam and her, I guess, dancer.
Yeah. That has been kind of to that, you know, even in the books, Pam is pretty much really has no preference, because she's one of those nonchalant types where sex is sex to her. Yeah. So for them to put that in the show, I was shocked, but it was fun to watch too, because I kind of saw that coming.
Yeah.
Like, indeed. Sooner or later, they have to give Pam a sex scene. And she was very, you know, very Pam about it, very nonchalant, very flippant, very, very, oh, and where were we? Yeah.
Sorry about this, guys, but we had major Skype issues and had to shut the show down early. Don't worry, though. Hanako will be back to talk about Eclipse. Thanks for listening. We'd love to have your feedback. Give us a call at 773-336-2686. Send us a tweet at Sci-Fi Party Line. Send us a message on facebook.com/Sci-Fi Party Line, or go to scifipartyline.com to leave us a comment. Until next time, we hope you enjoyed the show and see you at the party next time. Bye. Heart sick and eyes filled up with them. I don't know what you've done to me, but I know this much is true. I wanna do bad things with you. The air went out, and all those shadows there filled up with doubt. I don't know who you think you are, but before the night is through, I wanna do bad things with you. I wanna do real bad things. Do real bad things.